You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
This happened. You talked about it on The Fan.
The most successful team in the history of professional sports. Starting the new millennium, the New York Yankees are once again world champions.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 1019 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Call his wife in. How we doing? 405. McMonagle here with you on this glorious, glorious Tuesday morning as the New York Knicks take game one and shock the world. Down 20 points in the first half, they come roaring back in the third quarter, which was such a disaster area for them in the Pistons series, except game six, of course. But come all the way back, you got OG Anunoby really getting it done in the third quarter. Brunson getting it done in the fourth. Bridges getting it done in overtime. And the Celtics just hoisting up three after three after three. They take 63 pointers in this game. And we all knew defending the three-point line was going to be an enormous factor in this series. And I would classify 15 for 60 as a successful defending of the three-point line. To miss 45 three-pointers, I would say that is a good defending of the three-point line. And this Knick team, I don't want to hear any more questioning about its toughness. I don't want to hear any more questioning about its cohesiveness and its, you know, comparing this team to last year's team, and they've lost so much, and they need the tough and tenacity of DiVincenzo. They need this, they need that. This team just made a statement that they are good enough to hang with this Boston Celtics team, that they are good enough to beat the Boston Celtics team. Now, doesn't mean they will. Obviously, the Celtics are still the favorite in the series, and obviously they should be. They're defending champs. Game one does not mean that they are going to, you know, win this series necessarily, but I will tell you this. They made a statement in this game that it's going to be a series after a first half that felt very similar to what we saw during the regular season. A first quarter where they kept it close, sloppy basketball, missed some free throws, turned the ball over too much, but ultimately still a close game, and then they pulled away in the second quarter. While, you know, the Knicks were in foul trouble, they tried to run the offense through Towns at times, and it just got lost. He had a terrible game, at least finishing. I thought he showed up. I thought he tried. I don't think he was afraid of the moment or scared, sulking in the corner, or disappeared, as many people classify him. As doing in these big games. I don't think he was invisible. I think he was there. I think he was brutal at finishing it and had a off night and was really bad in the game. And that's when the Celtics were taking this lead without Porzingis, which is obviously a huge part of this game, who only plays a handful of minutes before leaving due to illness. And that certainly played a role. But as they were building that with Brunson on the bench and Karl Anthony Towns, in that second quarter, it felt like when they came out for the third, it was just a matter of time before the 20-point lead became a 25-point lead, became a 30-point lead. Like, that's what we have seen in these games during the regular season. Well, that meant absolutely nothing because, really, OG Anunoby gets it rolling in the third quarter, hits big three-pointers, gets to the basket. They play tough defense, miss three after miss three. And to me, before we get to the fourth quarter and the heroics of Brunson at the end of the game and the heroics of Mikal Bridges in the overtime, it was just, you know, for a lot of the game in the second half, whether it's because Porzingis was out, because it was they were missing three-pointers, whatever the case may be, this Knick team, who did make adjustments, and Tibbs, you got to give him credit too, because they were switching on the picks and the screens. They weren't trying to fight through them. They were allowing the bad matchups in order to keep the limited number of open three-pointers, and it definitely worked. But there were stretches in this game in the third quarter as the Knicks took over in the second half where the Celtics were on roller skates. They didn't know what to do. They had no other plan B except to continue to take bad three-pointers. And the Knicks were working their offense. The Knicks were getting it through OG Anunoby. The Knicks were obviously getting it through Brunson without that feel of it being all Brunson. It just was a pretty brand of basketball that the Knicks were playing and just dominating. Just dominating. And by the fourth quarter, OG Anunoby with the steal and the dunk ties the game. Brunson takes over for some big threes down the stretch. Misses the final shot off of a really well-called play on the side out of bounds play, which I've killed Tibbs for too. I think Tibbs had a really good game in this game one. He calls up a good play, gets a good backdoor look at a layup from Brunson, sort of, you know, kind of a floater layup over a defender, but still a basket that Brunson has made a million times this season. He misses it. They head to overtime. In overtime, I assume this game is over. The Celtics have a chance to regroup. The Knicks made their run, but ultimately couldn't finish it off at the last seconds of the fourth quarter. And now here comes the Celtics. They're destined to hit some of these threes that they've missed the entire second half. And instead, the Knicks just continue to play the better basketball. And Mikal Bridges has three of the biggest plays of this game. Or saving a rebound, going out of bounds. That leads to a dunk and a foul from OG Anunoby that gives him a three-point lead. He hits a big three-pointer later in the corner three, later in the overtime. And then, of course, on the final possession of the game, up three with 5 seconds left on the inbound pass, defends it perfectly, literally rips it out of the Celtics' hands and rips game one along with it. And just one of those nights that was fun to watch, incredible to experience, the biggest win the Knicks have had in the last 25 years. And they announced themselves in this series against this Boston Celtic team that these are going to be hard-fought games and it's not going to look like it looked like in the regular season. 888-808-1019. Huge win from the Knicks. Let's take your calls on it. We got one more hour to do it as we take you to 5 o'clock in the warm-up show. Let's get to Ben in Princeton, New Jersey. What's up, Ben?
Morning, Chris. Chris, I salute you. Let me start this. You were one of the few, and I mean the few, that when I called you last week and listening to your program on the drive-in,
yeah,
I said, listen, this is the Knicks versus the Celtics. I don't care what anybody says. This is playoff basketball. We got a shot.
Of course.
And you know what? And we do. But I'm not going to lie to you, Chris, right? I mean, I know where you were coming from and what you meant by that. But watching the first half, you know, I didn't get down. I'm going to tell you this. I thought the Knicks played well. They missed a lot from the free throw line.
Mm-hmm.
That being said, I'm about to say something about Mitch real quick. And I know you're going to disagree with me, but I don't want to see Mitch anymore for the series unless we really, really have to.
Yeah,
because
I mean,
strategy is hack a Mitch.
Yeah, I might have forgot it in that little rant I gave you at the top of this hour, but I've talked about it a lot throughout the show. That's really where the game started to. That was part of it too. Karl Anthony Towns and his inability to finish, and having empty possessions was part of how they pulled away in the second quarter. Also, the hack a Mitch that kind of changed between Karl Anthony Towns not finishing and putting Mitch Robinson at the foul line. There was a long stretch in that second quarter as the Celtics were building that lead that the Knicks had no offense. So that was definitely part of it, and he's a liability on the floor, and I'll never be able to wrap my mind around it. I know, you know, I'm not that tall, that lanky. I'm sure it creates problems because he's not the first we've seen with it, but I just can't imagine an NBA player being a 30% free throw shooter. I
25%.
Can't. I mean, he's 3 for 10 in this game, and he absolutely kills them. You're 100% right. Now, a bunch of them, 3 of 6 from the line, 50% from Hart is unacceptable, and 0 for 2 from Cameron Payne. Like, they missed a bunch of free throws in this game. Yeah, but Mitch kills them. So, yeah, he's a liability on the floor. There's no doubt about it. And we saw 5 minutes of Achiuwa because Cat was in such foul trouble that they didn't want to put him back on the floor and couldn't leave Mitch out there. So that is something Tibbs is going to have to react to. They've definitely adopted that strategy of stalling the Knicks offense by doing the hack of Mitch. And he's going to have to find a way to overcome that. Between now and tomorrow night, I hope he shoots 10,000 foul shots because he's got to figure out a way to get better at it. Or you're right, they're going to have to take him off the floor.
Well, let me say this. That being said, you're right, though. It all starts with Cat. Cat went out at the 9:45 mark of the second quarter.
Yep.
He picked up his third foul, which I thought was a cheap foul.
Yeah, good.
You know, but I'm not here. It's a great win. I'm not here to harp on the negatives. But in order for us to win this series now, we really have a shot. Because let's face it, the Knicks play better on the road than they do at the Garden. And everybody gets up to play in the Garden.
I mean, they're 4-0 on the road in this postseason. 4-0.
Yeah, and 1-2 at home. But this is it. Cat has got to be better for us to have a chance to win in this series. He's just got to be better.
Yeah.
I'm being honest with you.
Yeah.
I mean, we can't depend on Brunson every game. We can't depend on other pieces of the core to get us through to win a 7-game series. Cat is not giving us enough. I don't want to harp on the negatives. It's a great win. I know you got other callers. I'm so pumped. I can't even tell you.
No, I mean, let's go. Listen, a lot of things have got to change. I mean, because let's be honest. If you feel like having a pessimistic view of this Knick game, or you're a Celtic fan trying to convince yourself that it's just, you know, one-off, they missed 45 threes. The Knicks shot 50% from the foul line. They got out-rebounded in the game 59-49. And the Celtics had 19 offensive rebounds for second chance points for a team that relies on threes. Like, and you're right about Karl Anthony Towns. He scores 14 points in this game. If you would have told me any one of those things happened, I probably would have been pessimistic about the outcome of this game. If you told me that Karl Anthony Towns is in foul trouble on the bench, only scores 14 points in this game, I would have told you I don't love their chances. If you would have told me they were out-rebounded and allowed 19 offensive rebounds, I would have told you I don't like their chances. And if you told me they shot 17 for 37, for 31 rather, I'm sorry, that's their three-point percentage, which isn't bad at 45%. But if you would have told me they shot 17 of 31 from the line at 54%, I would have told you I don't like my chances there. It took all of that plus missing 45 three-pointers to win the game. I totally agree with the idea the Knicks have to play better. Absolutely. The Knicks are going to have to play better because the Celtics aren't going to play this poorly. And again, it wasn't the kind of disappearing acts that we've seen from Karl Anthony Towns, at least in my estimation. It wasn't the, oh my God, where the hell is he? He's not invested. He's afraid of the moment. He disappeared. He doesn't want to take the shot. He's nowhere to be found. Like, that wasn't the case. For a lot of the game, he was calling for the ball. He had the mismatch on the height. He was trying to take advantage of that. He was trying to get to the basket. He had an offensive foul called against him. He got into some foul trouble and had to sit on the bench, but he just couldn't finish around the basket. And I thought a couple times he was fouled, but it wasn't glaring. It wasn't obvious. But there was some contact going to the basket. He was unable to really draw the fouls, and he was unable to finish at the rim, and he got his shot blocked a couple times. He just didn't have a good offensive game. But it wasn't that same kind of, like, where the hell is he performance. But still not good. He's got to be better. He does have two big putback baskets, the tip in overtime, and then earlier in the game off a really good play by Hart, and a loose ball, you know, kind of finds himself in his belly, and he puts it back in. So he had game-winning plays. He has the foul at the end of the game just before Brown goes up for the shot. So that was a good foul. For a second there, we all got scared, but that was a good foul. And he made a decent play around the rim earlier defensively. So while still being terrible, Karl Anthony Towns did have some impactful winning-type plays. But he's got to be far better. Totally agree. Totally agree. But, like, they're gonna have to play a lot better in a bunch of different areas. But I thought OG Anunoby was brilliant in this game, and to me, for back-to-back games, Mikal Bridges was tremendous. And he's an off-night shooting as well. Offensively, he scores 8 points. He's 3 of 13 from the floor. 2 of 5 from 3, including that one huge corner 3 in overtime. And yet again doesn't get to the foul line. He plays 51 minutes in this game and doesn't get to the foul line. But he plays 51 minutes, and he is by far their, I mean, even better than OG. And we know how good OG is defensively. I would argue Bridges was their best defensive player in this game. He makes the final play of the game. He's all over the place. And in that overtime, we saw 3 plays from him, and it's literally the 3 elements of basketball. He gets the hustle, intangible type play where he gets the ball going out of bounds, saves it. It leads to a 3-point play on the dunk from OG Anunoby. He hits the corner 3, and then he makes the most fundamentally sound defensive play you could possibly make on that final inbound. He's not watching the ball. He's watching the player. He reacts quickly. He's all over him, gives him no room. And as Brown is bringing the ball back to his body, he literally rips it out of his hands and steals game 1. Like, those 3 plays are arguably the biggest 3 plays of the game, and they span the spectrum of what you're looking for from Mikal Bridges. That's winning basketball. Winning basketball. And Tibbs, I thought, had a really good game. He made an adjustment on the switches to help defend the 3. Right? Now, maybe, you know, the Hakimich thing is something he's going to have to figure out. I don't think he handled it that poorly in game 1, but moving forward, you're going to have to really try and think about when you want Mitchell Robinson out on the floor, the Karl Anthony Towns fouls. I mean, now we talk about how important Karl Anthony Towns is in this series. Now you add the element of you can't get in foul trouble. Like, if Cat has to avoid foul trouble so you don't have to play Mitchell Robinson for long stretches. Because they're going to employ this Hakimich thing if he's going to hit 3 out of 10. But I thought the final play of the game, although it doesn't end up leading to a basket, it led to a good look, and I've been killing Tibbs for a side out-of-bounds plays. He knows they have a foul to give and that they're going to foul, so he draws up like a dummy play, or at least, you know, has Bridges inbound the ball. They get the foul. He switches it to Brunson inbounding the ball. It leads to a backdoor cut that gives him a really good look. That was a really impressive side out of bounds play, and I've been killing him for his lack of creativity in those. I thought the offense moved the ball a hell of a lot better in the fourth quarter, instead of just, even though Brunson was still hitting major threes and scoring big buckets down the stretch, it didn't feel like it was just him dribbling. They had some offense. There were shots even for Miles McBride. Had some big shots down the stretch of this game. They were moving the offense. They were making it work. Bridges, OG. And then even I wanted him to force Karl Anthony Towns and try and create that, and I thought they did. It didn't work in the first half, and they got away from it because it was unsuccessful, but at least that adjustment was made too. He made defensive adjustments. He made offensive adjustments. He had a great side out of bounds play with the game on the line. He had the better, more heads-up team that played better down the stretch of this game, despite all the minutes issues we've had throughout the year, and 51 minutes from Bridges in this game when he wasn't scoring, and yet knew how impactful he was defensively and left him out there and then made the biggest play of the game. So I think Tibbs had a great game. I think Brunson, Bridges, OG had great games. I think Karl Anthony Towns and Hart made enough impactful winning plays that you're satisfied with their performances. This was just a gritty, tough, figure out a way against the defending champs to rally back from 20 points down. I mean, this is one of the great victories that the Knicks have had in forever. Think about where we are. Over the last 2 years, the pleasure. I know they, at the end of last year to the Pacers, it's a series you think they're more talented than them. They should have won that series. It came down to a war of attrition that they just lost. The 76ers series last year, even this Pistons series, and now this game 1 of the Celtics series, what we're watching is something we haven't seen since the late 90s, since 1999. This is the biggest win since, you know, the LJ 4-point play. We're getting to watch some really intense, awesome playoff basketball from our Knicks. And it was, what a great game. What a fun game to watch. to rally all the way back from down 20, tie it, take a 6-point lead, have that evaporate, have to then miss the final shot and go into overtime on the road against the defending champs and still get the better of the play? That's one hell of a win, man. And that's one hell of a statement. This wasn't just some fluke. This wasn't just some lucky win. Yes, they missed 45 threes. I get it. Yes, Porzingis went out because of illness. But the Knicks took this thing, man. They were down 20, and they took it. It was impossible not to have a great time as a Knicks fan watching that game last night. 888-808-1019. Robbie in Lake Success. What's up, Robbie?
Chris, I like that. I just woke up, so I can only imagine what's been going on. But I will say this. A few points that I noticed. A friend of mine was at the game last night, and he lives in Boston, and he said to me that, he's a Knicks fan. And the Knicks, they're down 20 points. The Celtics handed that game, and I agreed. I said, listen, you're up 20 points. You're taking it to the Knicks. I don't know how seriously they took them in game one, but they basically handed it to them by taking all those three-point shots. There's no reason to do that. Yeah, they were throwing up shots.
No, I get it. They average 48 threes per game.
But it's not like
they went outside of their normal strategy. Yes, they shot 60, but this is who they are.
They didn't have to. They could just hold the ball, slow the game down.
With 20 points, I have no. And the Knicks were in foul trouble. But why are you not trying to go to the basket? I agree that the Celtics had a terrible strategy. But my point is, it's not like that's what the Celtics do, though. Like 60 is a lot, but it is what they do.
Here's what I looked at also. The Knicks, because of that physical series, that Pistons series was so physical.
Agreed.
This is a team that is not like that.
Yeah.
And if you could just shut them down, which is what the Knicks do, and Brunson, I mean, let's face it, this guy is ice. He's the best Knick I have seen, since the 70s. Clyde and Monroe. There's nothing like this guy. The Knicks, and you called it last night, the first game of I heard Al and Jerry talking after. They weren't putting you down. They said the
no,
first
no,
game
I get it. They disagree. People are entitled. They weren't saying anything bad.
Sets the tone. You're up one. You steal game two. This could be a quick series for the Knicks.
Let's not get too crazy. I'd be very surprised if it's a quick series.
If Porzingis was playing, we might have saw a totally different game.
Of course.
The Knicks stole a game. They're going to have to play the same. They're going to have to be the same way the whole way. And I'll play. And I think that last point, Porzingis is the key. And if they could shut down those threes and have it, if they just keep doing that and keep, being cold, And Brunson plays the way he plays. It's going to be interesting to see when Porzingis comes back. That's what I want to see, how they – if they could shut him down and change the game, keep him out of the game.
Yeah.
The Knicks can win the series. There's no doubt about it in my mind.
Yeah.
Chris,
go ahead. No, thank you, Robbie. I appreciate the call.
You got it.
You have a good morning. I don't know about a quick series. And yes, of course, Porzingis not playing absolutely had something to do with it. They missed 45 threes, absolutely. Like, if they miss 43 threes, they win the game. Or if one of those threes are in regulation, they win the game. I get it. I heard Alan and Jerry talking about it. They disagree with me. That's fine. I thought game one for this particular series is important. Because let's be honest. Nobody thought the Knicks had a chance in this series. One win and that changes. And that changes for the Knicks. It just changes the feeling of the entire series. That's why I thought game one was important. You want to go in there, you got to get one of the two. And I felt like game one is the easier game to go get or, has an opportunity to be that game you could steal. I felt better about game one than I would have about game two. And still do. I don't feel great about game two. I disagree. I don't know if this is going to be a short series. I would have to tell you right now, I would sign for game six right now. I would sign for game six, even down 3-2. I would sign for game six. That still means going on the road and beating the Celtics in game seven, but this was supposed to be a joke of a series. I don't know if I'd sign for it now. That only means one more win over the next three games, but... it's tough to win these games against this team. I think they guaranteed at least that. But that's it. This is going to be a tough series, no doubt. But yeah, I felt the game one was imperative for this team. And how do you feel now? We felt like there was no chance. Now there's a chance. All it took was one win. And we'll see how we feel after Wednesday night. But right now, I feel good about this team. I feel good about how they battled back. I feel good. And you're right, Brunson's incredible. And at the end, if you can keep these games close, he's the best closer. I don't know if he's the best Nick I've ever seen. I mean, he's incredible at the end of these games. He's the best closer. I mean, certainly, you know, Patrick Ewing didn't seal the deal the way this guy does. If the Knicks are in a close game right now, I would trust them because Brunson's incredible at the end of these games. But they made defensive switches. Instead of trying to fight through the screens, it led to less good looks at three. And yeah, the Celtics didn't know what to do. Like, that's part of it too. They didn't know what else to do but to just take up these threes. And I agree with you, it didn't make any sense. They're up 20. Karl-Anthony Towns is in foul trouble. Hart's in foul trouble. Early on in this game, why are you not trying to get the Knicks in? Why are you not driving to the basket? Why are you not taking advantage of some of the mismatches that were created by the switches? Like, why are you still hoisting up threes at every turn? But that's not my question to answer. And we'll see if they change that strategy moving forward. But I thought Tibbs had really good adjustments. I thought the team played really well. Even the guys who didn't play well, like Towns and Bridges offensively, contributed so much. And I shouldn't even say Bridges didn't play well. He played amazing. Just offensively, the shots weren't falling. And yet still, you could sense the impact he had on this game. And then, of course, in overtime. So just one of those fun nights and a game that makes a statement. And that's why I thought game one was important, because it makes a statement. Now, you could make a case if this were game two, that would make a statement too. Fine. They had to win one of these two. And I thought game one was important, and I think it proved out to be. Now that they've won the game, I think we feel a hell of a lot better about their chances in this series.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something...
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and get up to 50% off with minimum purchase. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Swung on.
There it goes. Deep left. It is high. It is far. It is gone. Number 62 to set the new American League record.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
All right, 4:34, McMonagle here with you on The Fan on this Tuesday morning as we're breaking down the incredible Game 1 victory for the New York Knicks over the Boston Celtics, 108-105, in one of the more just fun experiences ever, because it was almost, you know, the watching experience was different because you ran the gamut a little bit, right? Like, to open the quarter, you felt like the opening quarter of the game, it's close. The Knicks are hanging in there, right? I think Porzingis is... Did he play the entire first quarter? I forget when he left. But, like, they're not playing particularly well. They're playing all right. They turned the ball over a little bit too much. They did miss some foul shots, but they're in it. And then the second quarter looks like it did over the course of the regular season, and hope is lost. I think that's fair. And I think everyone's just like, well, there we go. This is going to look exactly like it's looked. It's over. And you're sitting there and you're kind of, and it's not even devastating because you half expected it. As much, however optimistic a Knicks fan as you were, you're half expecting that outcome. Let's be honest, you are. So when it starts to happen, you're not overly upset. You're not overly pissed off. You're just kind of just sitting there going, oh, it's really going to be like this, huh? I made a joke about, oh, they're going to need some sort of, you know, this better be one hell of a layup line in the third quarter. Like, you know, it's just kind of like, okay, we'll see how the rest of the series goes, but this is not the way you wanted it, but you're not overly pissed off. And then they start to make the run. And as they're making the run and OG is playing the way he's playing in the third quarter and they continue to just miss threes and they're getting back into the game and it's like 11, then it's 8. And they're going through it, and you're excited, but I don't know, until they tied the game, I wasn't sure I was really all that amped up that they're going to win it. Like, it's hard to come back from 20 points down. It's hard to come back and then tie the game 20 points down. It's damn near impossible to then, from that point, still go and win the game. Like, coming back is a hell of a lot easier than taking the lead. And so, you know, you get that dunk from OG Anunoby and the game is tied and it's going the way it's going. And suddenly, like, they're going to win this game. Then they take a 6-point lead. Then they blow that. They miss the final possession of the fourth quarter. They go into overtime and I'm down again. I'm thinking that was it. That was their opportunity. They're not going to get a better look. They're not going to get a better opportunity than that. And then the fourth quarter, and then overtime, the defensive Bridges takes over. They make all the plays. The Celtics still look in a funk offensively, taking ugly threes. They get a big time three in the corner. They get the putback from Cat, which is one of the bigger plays of this game. And then they get that final possession defensively. And I mean, it was an incredible ride, and it was one of the best nights of being a Knicks fan we've had in 25 years. Really, the best win since the 4-point play. Just one of those great nights, man. And we'll see where the rest of the series goes. I kind of want to just enjoy it until Wednesday. I don't want to think about game two. I don't want to think about the rest of the series. I want to enjoy what we just witnessed. 888-808-1019. And Robbie just said, I do think that the series against the Pistons helped this team. I think there was something about it. They had to really fight. They had to galvanize. They had to come together, which is, you know, the same thing as galvanize. And then they had to come through and hit the big shots and win games on the road, and now they're 4-0 on the road. This Knicks team, it's hard to win road playoff games in the NBA. They are 4-0 on the road, including against the NBA champs. So far, as much as that Pistons series, oh, it should have been over in five, oh, it should have been easier than this, I think it helped them in the long run. And to be this good on the road, now they have to be better at the Garden, but to be this good on the road and 4-0 to start the year, start this playoff run, is really impressive. And last night was just a hell of a lot of fun. Let's get to the calls. Jose in Waterbury. What's up, Jose?
Hey, what's up, Chris? How are you?
Good, man. How are you?
I'm blessed. Listen, my partner Rick at work, we talk about the show all the time. We work out of a warehouse. I want to thank you and shout him out. Real quick, the Knicks, amazing win. I'm not a Knicks fan at all, but I will say I've been shooting at Tibbs all this time. That coach from Boston, I don't know what he's doing. He should have just took a seat in the stands with some popcorn, because he let them do that. That was his fault to allow this team to just keep chucking threes with a 20-point lead. That was common sense not to do it.
Yeah, but I'm surprised with the lead. I do agree. With the lead, I'm surprised. That is their game. I believe I saw they averaged 48 threes per game. So it's not like, 12 more is a significant number. Plus, there was overtime, though, to be fair. But yeah, of their first 40 shots in the second half, their first 40 shots of the second half, 34 of them were three-pointers. And a lot of that's with a 20-point lead and a Knicks team in foul trouble. It makes no sense to me. It makes no sense to me. And a Knicks team that has changed their defensive strategy and is switching off the screens and allowing mismatches. Right? You had Tatum on Brunson. You had Brown on Brunson. Why are you not trying to get to the basket? Why are you not trying to beat Brunson off the dribble? You had those guys on Karl-Anthony Towns as well. You're not trying to beat these guys off the dribble? You're looking for threes? Like, I was very confused. Now, I know they put up threes. I know that's their strategy. But 60... with a lead, with a Knicks team in foul trouble, really was a puzzling strategy from the Knicks, from the Celtics. I agree, but hey, this is who they are. It's how they're going to go down. They're going to win games by the three. They're going to lose games by the three. They shoot more threes than any team in the NBA. They made more threes than any team in the NBA. This is how they play the game, and they have, they have pretty much everyone on the damn roster can hit the 3-pointer at a pretty good clip. So this is who they are. That's how they play. They are the epitome, I suppose, of the it's a make-miss league. Well, they are the epitome of it, and they are the champions. So we'll find out how that goes moving forward. But I thought the Knicks did a really good job. And as we welcome in, we're about to welcome in Brett in Long Island. I've been on the coach, so totally fair. I've been critical of Tibbs. I thought he had his moments in the Pistons series that pissed me off and made me question him. And we'll see where it goes from here, but I thought he had a really good game one. I thought the defensive strategy off the screens was better. I thought the offensive game plan was better. He did try and work Karl-Anthony Towns into the game early in the first half. And that side out of bounds play to end at the end of regulation was a one. He knew they were going to foul, so he had a different inbounder for like sort of a dummy play. I guess you can't be positive. You had to have an actual play, but he had a good idea that there was going to be a foul, switched up the inbounder to put Brunson as the inbounder on the second play after the foul when they had no more fouls to give, and got a backdoor look for a really good look at the end of the game. So I thought Tibbs really, really did have an excellent game one. Brett, what's going on?
Chris, you're too soft to your callers. Get a backbone. To all the...
All right, I'll see you later then, buddy. I appreciate it. Let me grow that backbone real quick. You're right. I'm way too soft on the callers. Thank you for that lesson. I appreciate it. 888-8081. I just felt like I had to do that. Like, he set himself up for that. He had himself, he literally said, I'm too soft on the callers. He is the epitome of the guy I'm too soft on. I had to. I wouldn't be able to respect, and I was interested in what he had to say, but he left me no choice when he opens with, I'm too soft on the callers. He left me no choice. He left me no choice. I had to do it. I had to hang up on him. He blew it. That's his own fault. It's his own fault.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today. If you're a parent or share a fridge with someone, Instacart is about to make grocery shopping so much easier. Because with family carts, you can share a cart with your partner and each add the items you want. Since between the two of you, odds are you'll both remember everything you need. And this way, you'll never have to eat milkless cereal again. So minimize the stress of the weekly shop with family carts. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply for three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
How can advertising on TikTok help jumpstart sales for your small business?
Thanks to TikTok ads, I was able to open up a business with my childhood friend, get a warehouse, and even hire employees. My name is Julian, and I am one of the founders of The Snacks Lab. We are an exotic snack company. We had over $100,000 in sales from our TikTok ads in the first month. So our orders went from 5 a day to over 250 orders a day. You definitely have to use TikTok ads, and you gotta start now.
Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
He's homered! Derek Jeter homers to tie the game, and there it is, hit number 3,000.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
You know, and the other thing from the overtime, too, is that Brunson doesn't score. They win this game in overtime against the Boston Celtics, and Brunson is 0 for 4 from the field and 0 for 2 from 3. I mean, he's been their guy. Can you imagine them winning a game in overtime with the Boston Celtics without Brunson being part of the offense? You got the Bridges three, the off the Bridges rebound dunk for OG and the foul, and the putback by Karl Anthony Towns. That's the scoring in overtime. That's kind of a good sign that in the crunch moments, they'll always need. And certainly he was a major factor with his step-back threes in the fourth to get them back into the game. But in overtime against the Boston Celtics, they were able to win the game with Brunson 0 for 4 from the field. And they did it on the back of, really, Bridges, who had an incredible overtime. And really, these last two games, you could point to him. And OG in the third quarter was enormous. We all know how great Brunson is. So outside of Brunson, these last two games, closing out the Pistons series and winning this first game against Boston, Mikal Bridges has really stepped up and earned, you know, being a Nick. These two games were huge. And you could argue outside of Brunson, he's the most important figure in both. When you combine both games, he was huge in that game closing out the Pistons, and he was the overtime.
He was the overtime. The 6 out of the 8 points are directly led by his great play on the rebound, leads to an easy dunk and foul, and his three-pointer. And he closes out the game with an unbelievable defensive possession and stopping the final shot from even getting off. I mean, he owned the overtime of this game. Mikal Bridges owned the overtime of the biggest win the Knicks have had in 25 years. And this is a guy we have killed. This is a guy we've all been pissed at. This is a guy we've been debating whether or not, oh man, now are you telling me Giannis could be available and we wasted all these picks on Mikal Bridges? He's freaking terrible. He can't hit the shot. What the hell is that hitch at the top of the shot? It's disgusting. I thought this was supposed to be a good defensive player. All year long, this is what we've said, this is what we've heard, and rightfully so because he's had a miserable year. But in the biggest moment of the biggest game that they've had in 25 years, he took over. It's a big performance. 51 minutes. It's a big performance. Mitchell in Fort Lee. What's up, Mitch?
Hey, big matchup boy. I have to say one thing before I get to my comment about the Knicks and what a great game. You have now just pissed off Brett from wherever he's from. He's going to be fuming until tomorrow morning until he calls you. But he's a buffoon, actually. I don't get the guy, but whatever. I hope he enjoys
himself.
Listen,
he wanted me to be less soft on the calls, so I was.
And he's going to be going crazy all day until tomorrow. He has to call back, and I can't wait to hear that conversation.
I believe he's already called back, and I told him no. I said, sorry, we'll talk to you tomorrow. I don't want to be soft.
That's right. That's great. Brett, so enjoy yourself. But now getting to the Knicks, I got to tell you something. I called in yesterday, and I said, well, the Knicks are going to have to play their heart out. And I could not believe, I didn't think the Knicks were going to win, but when Porzingis went out and everything else, you just saw the thing change, how the Knicks changed. And the second half, like everyone said, and you've said numerous times, you're at 20 points, Boston. If this was the opposite way, could you imagine the calls coming in today saying, why the Knicks keep shooting three after three?
Well,
it was a complete disaster for them. But for the Knicks fan, you can't wait for all day for them to talk about this game. This reminds me of going to a Knicks game in the 80s when I had season tickets, when we had Ewing and we went all the way down to the finals. This game was amazing. Yep. It was exciting. It was just unbelievable. 20 point downs and they came back and they won the game. Yeah. Great job, Knicks.
And thank you, Mitch, for the call. Yeah, no, great job. And all these games have been exciting. The last four games of the Pistons series are all determined by 3 points or less. You've got this game. I mean, it's been an incredible ride, these games. And then you go back to last year's playoffs, too. Like, not only have the Knicks won some playoff games for the first time in, you know, forever, but they've been giving you incredibly exciting basketball games. Some of them well-played, some of them not, some of them ugly, some of them, you know, very physical, some of them ticky-tack fouls called, whatever, different vibes on some of these games, but all of them down to the wire. And all of them experiences where you're furious, you're pissed, you're excited, you're happy. Like, it's just been a wild ride, and last night was no different. And as far as, like, yeah, but I mean, they're a different team. To say, like, again, I agree that the Celtics strategy of not trying to get to the basket up 20 is a puzzling thing, but it's not, like you said, if the Knicks were shooting all those threes, yeah, I'd be pissed because that's not the Knicks game necessarily. Like, they can hit threes. We all know, you know, OG has hit the corner three very well. Bridges has hit threes in his history. He hasn't done a great job with the Knicks, but he's a shooter. Obviously, Brunson's a shooter. It's not the same. I'd be more pissed because it's not the same thing. This is who the Celtics are. So I don't want to just minimize the idea that this is who they are. Like, yes, did they take too many? Clearly. But they average what we would all deem too many. And with a 20-point lead, it's head-scratching a little bit. But it's not like they went outside of their game plan and we're like watching the Celtics just mentally collapse. This is who they are. They should have changed that strategy in the circumstances of the game. They didn't. But we are going to see a lot of threes taken. They take the most, they hit the most. That's who the Celtics are. We watched them dominate the Knicks, hitting a ton of threes over the course of the regular season. Last night they didn't go in, and they were defended better. But I don't want to make it seem like the Celtics played so terribly they lost their minds and changed who they are. They did exactly what they normally do. But there should have been a plan B if I were running the Celtics, or if I'm rooting for the Celtics, I'm screaming at the television, enough with the threes, let's get to the basket and see if we can foul out Hart. Let's see if we can get, you know, Brunson, let's see if we can get, you know, Carl Anthony Towns back on the bench to throw Mitch out there to stagnate their offense with Hakimich. Like, why are we putting up all these threes? But it is their game plan. Ralphie in Outer Bridge. What's up, Ralphie?
Take my call. You make my ride into work a lot more pleasurable.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
I'm closing in on 70. I've been a Knicks fan for 100 years. And, you know, as Pacino said, just when you thought you're out, they pulled me back in. I wasn't that optimistic. Being a Knicks fan is like getting on the Cyclone and never getting off. Now, you know, tomorrow's a big game. I mean, it's a huge – it's bigger than game one. If the Knicks can somehow pull out another victory and take it home 2-0, this series is over. Have a good day.
Yeah, I would not – I'm not going to go there. If the Knicks go up 2-0, the series is not over. They've clearly been better on the road than they've been at home. And the Celtics are too damn good, and they're defending champs. You can't call the series over. Sorry. I'd feel a lot better about it. I'd feel a hell of a lot better about it, and maybe even confident. And we'd see what the odds were. They might end up being the favorite in the series after taking the first two in Boston, but no. The series is not over. Hell, the series isn't over 3-0. This series against this team and the way their ability, how they've played the Knicks prior, defending champs, this thing isn't over till it's over. So, I think it's going to be a good game two. If you're asking me my opinion, I think it's going to be a very difficult game to win. I think they're going to come out possessed. If Porzingis plays, I think that makes it even harder to win. But even if Porzingis doesn't play, the Celtics are going to come out with their hair on fire. This is a game that they know they need to win. Again, I don't think they need to win it necessarily, but that's how they're going to treat it. You do not want to lose both games at home. So they're already set up as a 10-point favorite. I'm not going to touch it just because I don't want to bet against the Knicks. But if I'm a betting man, I probably take the Celtics minus 10. I think it's a hard game to win. They needed to win one of the two. They've done that. Winning two would be incredible. It still wouldn't end the series, but it would be a huge, huge, advantage, obviously, up 2-0, both wins on the road. But I'm not expecting it. I think it's very difficult to win this game. And even if they do, I'm certainly not calling the series over. The Celtics team is too good. They have too many good players. You can't go in as such a favorite and then suddenly, the series is completely over after the first two games. There's just no way. But we'll see if they change strategies up a little bit. My guess is they won't. My guess is this is who they are. And they're defending champs and they play the way they play and they're not going to acquiesce to the Knicks and change their game plan. They're going to come out there and be who they are. I think they're going to tell themselves, hey, we had a 20-point lead doing this. We missed a bunch of shots. We lost KP, and ultimately it just didn't go our way, but we're fine. I wouldn't expect anything different. I think they're going to put up more than 53s in game two. I don't see any game plan changing, and they'll probably shoot better. They missed 45 threes. They're not going to miss that many threes. They're going to shoot it better in game two. It's going to be a tough game. But you know what? We'll get to game two when we get to game two on Wednesday. Today, enjoy the rest of your day. Stay tuned to the station all day. If you want to go back and listen to me again, obviously you can on the Odyssey app and the Rewind feature and all the podcasting and everything. But stick with the Fan all day. Enjoy all the Knick talk off of the best win the franchise has had in 25 years as they take game one in Boston. Enjoy it. Don't worry about game two. Take game one. Enjoy it. It was a wild ride. It was a lot of fun. So enjoy listening to the breakdowns all day long here on the Fan. Thank you to Fleegs. Thank you to the callers, even though I'm soft on you. And maybe I'm doing you a disservice, but it's because I love you. I'll catch you guys tomorrow, 2 a.m. Enjoy the rest of your day. I'm out of here. Bye-bye.
Sports Radio 101.9 FM. The Man. WFAN, New York.
Anyone who loves playing baseball or softball knows that one of the first steps in that journey is breaking in your first glove. It's where your love of the game began. Where does your child's baseball or softball journey begin? Go to playball.org to get started.
Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
On my podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, we share the keys to succeed in business and in life. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed and Audacy Podcast wherever you get your podcasts.